We're talking today with Trey Lamb, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. Trey, fairly new in this position you are, but you've got quite a history, family history, in fact, when it comes to the efforts of conservation here in the state and the Southern Great Plains.
That's correct. I was on my local conservation board for about 15 years, but I'm a second-generation conservation district director and kind of consider myself the grandson of the Dust Bowl. My mother's roots are in western Oklahoma. She was born in Beckham County and experienced the Dust Bowl firsthand. She tells stories of riding in the back seat of their car to church and the Black Sunday cloud rolling in, watching the cloud as it caught up with them, and having to pull over to a neighbor's house and go in the root cellar to ride out the storm. So I've heard lots of stories about the Dust Bowl. And then my dad's family has sharecropped in the Washita River bottom through the 30s and the 50s, through the cycles of drought and flooding. And so familiar with all the work that's been done with flood control structures all over the state of Oklahoma. So it's something that I kind of was born into and have had a lifelong interest in.
Now, you've been involved on especially the Oklahoma Association on Conservation District side of things. Now you're moving over to the state agents, the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, and you've been there for a few months.
That's right. Yes, I was the president of the Oklahoma Association of Conservation District and their national board representative, so been involved in state and national conservation issues. And when Mike Thralls retired as executive director of the Conservation Commission, several people approached me and asked me if I'd have an interest, and really wasn't looking for another job. I had the job I loved as a farmer and a rancher, but there comes a point when you kind of have to put up or shut up. I'd been complaining and working on issues involving soil and water conservation my whole life, and so I had to step up and take the job, and it's something that I really enjoyed, and I think I'm going to enjoy it going forward.
When you look at the Conservation Commission, you've kind of looked at it as a farmer rancher, as a part of the Conservation District's efforts. You know, you look at the Conservation Commission as you've come in. What were you seeing as far as the role of this agency, and how's that starting to maybe evolve a little bit in your mind as you take over the reins of this position?
Well, I understood the kind of the breadth of the commission and all the different things they did all around the state. But I think as a district director, you do look at things on your local level. In my specific area, a district is designed that you assess the resource, conservation resource needs in your local area, and then you decide how to go about tackling those issues. In my area, it was flood control. In my area, it was taking care of flood control structures. But that's not the same all around the state. And so as I've taken on this job, I realize how many natural resource challenges there are around the state and that there are a lot of different strategies for tackling those and fixing those problems.
I know that, you know, Conservation Commission has especially been very effective in trying to leverage some state dollars with federal dollars, even some private dollars, in order to try to accomplish some of these conservation missions, right?
That's true. The history of conservation is that it's a partnership. You have local districts that help in assessing the needs and implementing conservation practices, but they also have their state and federal partners with the Conservation Commission, with the funds that can come through our cost share program, with the support of districts, and then you have your federal partners at the NRCS from the Department of Agriculture. And so there are some opportunities that have come down the pike to address more regional type concerns, things that a local conservation district or a city or an individual farmer can't do on their own. So we're going to take hard dollar resources and manpower from several different partners, both public and private and individuals, combine those all together to tackle larger issues around the state and on the national basis too.
I know that one of the real success stories of the Conservation Commission have been some of the water quality efforts in the eastern part of the state especially.
Yes, we've found an approach to deal with water quality issues, because a lot of these are what they call non-point source pollution, which is basically runoff from rural agricultural land, whether it's pastures or farmland, nutrients that are applied or cattle waste. Those run off into the streams. So we found that by monitoring the streams up front and then identifying conservation practices, whether it's cover crops, no-till, rotational grazing, fencing off streams and limiting water access of livestock. All those things go to improve the water quality. All during the process, we continue to monitor the water in the streams, and we've shown that by voluntarily, farmers and ranchers can clean up these streams and thus the lakes that are down below them without any government regulation. It's not a mandate from the federal or even from the state government. These are local people deciding what they want to do using technical expertise from the federal and state level, mm-hmm. along with some incentive dollars to get started, and then they put those practices into effect themselves.
It seems like that USDA is almost taking a page out of that type of a book with this latest set of numbers that they've issued. Over 100 projects nationally approved of this partnership program with millions of dollars going all across the United States, including some in Oklahoma.
That's right. Yeah, their idea is that we need to bring in other stakeholders, and even beyond just government entities. They also want to look at whether they're private companies, whether they're nonprofit organizations, wildlife-type organizations, cities, and put all those people together, bring all their resources together. And what they want is not just you to come together and be worried about an issue or take on an issue using federal dollars. They expect you to put some skin in the game, to actually bring dollars when you come. And so each one of the partners has some aspect where they're making a strong commitment. But they also realize that they can't solve these problems on their own, mm-hmm. that these problems are bigger than any one entity.
One of the things that is kind of a buzzword right now within the conservation community and among a lot of farmers and ranchers is this idea of healthy soil. And I know that Oklahoma has been kind of right there in the middle of this whole idea of trying to help farmers achieve that goal of a healthier soil profile.
Yes, and being a farmer myself, I think we've realized over probably the last 20 or 30 years that we've seen, although we can get higher yields with new hybrids, new varieties, with new fertilizer, new management practices, that it isn't the soil isn't as healthy as it was. The organic matter has gone down. The living nature of the soil, the fungi, the bacteria that keep the soil going, earthworms, those have all gone downhill. So almost it's like we're working with a blank page. We can add fertilizer, we can add all these additives, do all these things to the soil, but we really need to get back to a healthy soil. And this movement began with farmers themselves. They began experimenting on their own with cover crops, with no-till, with constantly having growing roots in the soil. And what has happened is the conservation movement, whether it's federal or state, have picked up on these ideas. They've now begun to test these ideas on in demonstration trials, university research, and now we're bringing that information that's been tested, that's been tried, back to the farmers in areas that maybe haven't tried it. And that's what we want to do in Oklahoma, is get out to all the different local areas using our conservation districts, using OSU Extension, using NRCS, and also our partners in the seed business. And in the ag chemical and fertilizer business, and showing individual farmers in their own local community that these practices will work.
You've obviously just kind of got your feet on the ground. You're starting to really put all the pieces together as the new executive director. But what are some of your early ideas as far as things you'd like to see achieved over the next 2 or 3 years within conservation here in our state?
Well, kind of my theme that I've told people is I like old-fashioned conservation, which is what I call conservation for the right reasons. You know, God gave us this earth to take care of, to manage, to utilize, to feed other people and feed our own families. And so we need to treat the land and do things on the land and with the water for the right reasons. And back in the early years of the soil and water conservation movement in the United States, we put these practices on our own farms. We put them on our neighbors' farms with help of the government and universities. And then we brought our neighbors in and showed them that these things work. And that's how people learn. And so that's what I would like to do, is get back to going out doing demonstrations, showing that these conservation practices work, and thus getting our neighbors to become involved and having people do it not for the right reasons, not just because there's a government program that says you should do it or gives you money to do it, but because you're doing it for the right reasons.